We have two readings this morning. The first one is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, reading verses 9 to 13, and the second, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, reading verses 4 to 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's very good to be with you. I thought we had a lovely day yesterday. It's taken me many years to get here. Francis McWiner talked to me about coming, but it never happened until yesterday. But here I am. And as someone said yesterday, I look quite different from my photograph. That's on my website details. You can pick that up from the table at the back there. Also one or two of my CDs if you want to. But of course, this photograph is over 10 years old. And I'm now 80. And I sit down because I have a spinal condition. So I'm used to preaching and speaking sitting down. Well, our subject this weekend is the Holy Spirit. Just lift up one of your hands and breathe on it, will you, please? Did you see anything? Did you feel anything? It's real. Real power can blow out a candle. The word for spirit in the Bible is the same word as the word for breath. Real power, but invisible. It's ruach in Hebrew, and it's pneuma in Greek. Can you see the wind? But you can see the trees moving. It's the same word again. Breath, wind, spirit. If you want to understand the Holy Spirit, think breath or think wind. So the Holy Spirit is like your breath. You can blow a candle out. The Holy Spirit is like the wind, usually gentle, sometimes very powerful, even knocking people over. The Holy Spirit is real power, but invisible. And the Holy Spirit is God in us. According to the Bible, something wonderful happens when people make a commitment to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, changes us. a second birth takes place in us, and it's a birth which is from God or from heaven. Jesus says you can't see the kingdom of God until you have been born from God. It's not like a human birth. It's the work of the breath of God in us. It's like the wind coming, Jesus says, John chapter 3. You don't know where it's from. You don't know where it's going. But you still know it's the wind. And it's like that when the Holy Spirit comes to us and changes us. We are born from heaven by the Holy Spirit. We're born from God, born again. And we know God, and we begin to love him. We're changed. We're becoming as God created us to be. Now I hope that all of you here know this. But maybe you don't yet. Maybe you will today. All humanity is created in the image of God. And therefore we are created to reflect God. That's what an image does. It reflects its source. But the image in us is spoilt by sin. The second birth restores the image, and step by step, we grow more like Jesus. We are God's new creation. So how do you know that's happened to you, that birth from heaven? Sign number one, have you asked Jesus into your life or your heart? I did that when I was 12 years old on the 18th of May, 1955, 67 years ago, at a Billy Graham rally at Wembley in London. If you sincerely ask Jesus into your life to be your Lord, he always comes. And you can't say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Spirit. Just try saying that, Jesus is Lord. Jesus. You can't do that except by the Holy Spirit in you. And sign number two, when you think of God as your true Father, you kind of know it's true. It's real. There's a little voice in you whispering, yes, it's true. God is your true Father. That's the Holy Spirit. When I came home from Wembley, I wrote in my diary how wonderful it is to have Jesus in my heart. If Jesus is in your heart or your life, you have the Holy Spirit. But there is more. John the Baptist says, when he's announcing the Messiah, he, Jesus, will baptize you in Holy Spirit. I baptize you in water, John says, for the forgiveness of sins. He, the Messiah, Jesus, will baptize you in Holy Spirit and fire. Now, what does that mean? Baptized in Holy Spirit. Jesus will soak you, plunge you into Holy Spirit. This is nothing feeble, it's big. The word baptized can be used for a ship sinking. Jesus intends to plunge all his followers into Holy Spirit, into this amazing wind, into this river, which is God in you and me. Now, I believe that our churches haven't taught people to expect this soaking. There are people who, when they first accept Jesus, do have a powerful experience of God. They are being baptized in the Spirit, but we've not taught them to how to go on being filled with the Spirit. All the gifts of God come through faith, faith which rests on God's word in the promises. So what you expect from God according to the promises is vital. And if you only hope he will give you his Spirit, that's not faith. It's hope. When I asked Jesus into my heart at 12 years old, I received the Spirit. But I didn't expect to be soaked in God's presence and in his power and in his love. Nobody taught me that. My faith then was more about obedience, about getting my life right, about living, it was more about that than living by the Holy Spirit. And then when I heard that Jesus wanted to baptize me in Holy Spirit, I started asking for it. And I asked, and I asked. And I even knelt down with my mouth open, hoping I would speak in tongues. But I only hoped it would be so. I wasn't sure. Nothing. And then I read a book, How to Receive the Baptism in Holy Spirit. Very old book by R.A. Torrey. He said this, when you ask Jesus into your heart, how do you know he's come? Because he promised to come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them and they with me. How do you know he's come when you open the door and ask Jesus into your heart? Because he promised. You believe that, and in due course, you experience it. And I have led people from that verse and told them he's come because he promised. And Torrey said, it's just the same with being baptized in Holy Spirit. You ask, how do you know he's baptized you? Because he promised, and you asked. How much more, in our reading, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He baptizes you in Holy Spirit when you ask, because he's promised to, and you believe. You don't just hope. You believe. Now, when I read that in the book, it was as if a massive penny dropped in me. Of course! Because I'd helped people to open the door to Jesus. So if I asked Jesus to baptize me in Holy Spirit, I could be certain he would keep the promise. So I asked, and I believed, and I thanked Jesus. Nothing dramatic happened, except that I just felt right with God in a way that I hadn't done for months. And that's the way faith in God works. It's all promises. Promises we must take as certain. From Abraham to Jesus, the Bible faith is promises. And you must live by promises. Which promises are you resting your life on at the moment? Promises are everything in Christian discipleship. Now let's go back and look more carefully at that first reading. Jesus urges us to be persistent in our prayers. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek or search, and you will find. Well, I've done that. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So don't give up pressing God for what you believe is good for your life. We have Jesus' word. Keep at it. And then these amazing words about the gift of the Spirit. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake? Of course not. If your child asks for an egg, will you give them a scorpion? How ridiculous is that? And then the punchline. If you human fathers or mothers who are evil, that is to say, sinners, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God the Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask. Now, our four children are aged 54, 52, 50, and 47, and they're still asking us money for a new boiler, money for window frames, money for a house extension. A fish pond in the garden. We have a lot of loans out to our children. But guess what? I just love giving our kids help. It gives me enormous joy to help them build their houses. And these verses have in them a double. How much more? Or how much greater? How much more is God the Heavenly Father ready to give than any earthly parent? How much more than even joyful me in giving my kids things? How much more is the Heavenly Father eager to give you? And what is his best gift of all? How much more is the Holy Spirit better than any other gift? Because the Holy Spirit is God in you, guiding and directing your life into what is good and right. What can be better than that? It's breathtaking. The God of love in you all day, every day. So just pause. to take in how eager our Father in heaven is to give us, to baptize us, to soak us in his Spirit. We simply can't get enough of his Spirit. The Spirit pours love into our hearts. Romans 5 verse 8. The Spirit leads us and directs us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. The Spirit is the new law by which we live. Not the law of sin and death and corruption, but now the law of the Spirit of life, moving us forward. You know, my Christian life, as I've already shared with you as a teenager, was about obedience, about getting it right. And then as a student, I came across the verse in Ezekiel that said he would put a new heart in me, take out the heart of stone, put a new heart in me and a new spirit. And his new spirit in me would cause me to go in the way of his commands. Ezekiel 36, 26. How amazing. It's not up to me to get my Christian life right. The Spirit of God will blow me in the right direction. It was a huge relief to me that I hadn't got to get my Christian life right. And by the way, far too many Christians worry about getting their lives right for God. He calls us children. Children, if my children had gone around when they were young saying, "Oh, Dad, I'm so worried about getting my upbringing right," that'd be terrible. Children are to run around as happy children, but listen for when their parents call. And you are to run around as happy children, but just listen for your Father's call. He calls us children, and his Spirit in you will blow you in his direction. Do you like it? It's wonderful. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 12. I let Jesus baptize me in Holy Spirit when I was 25. I'm now 80. And I'm absolutely certain that God loves me and has directed my life. And I love him more than I've ever done. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that takes me on to those gifts that God gives us to know him better. There are four lists of gifts in the New Testament. Some of these gifts are well known in human life, like serving, teaching, giving, leading, hospitality. And God gives all these gifts to build up the church, and they're part of your life here at St. Andrew's. We serve one another to make the church stronger. And here we're the advance guard of God's kingdom on earth. One day, the kingdom will come fully. But there is one list of gifts which is different, and it was read to us. Paul calls them the spirituals, or spiritual gifts. He calls them the manifestation of the Spirit revealing himself, manifesting himself. And it's a list of remarkable acts, so remarkable that when you see them, you have to say, "That's God." It doesn't happen normally. It's God. It's the Spirit of God doing these amazing things. Nine gifts that were listed there. And they're for the good of all. So let me give you a short guide to these gifts. You heard the list. And when you've trusted that God has baptized you in Holy Spirit, you can expect these gifts to show up in your Christian witness. It says different gifts are given to different persons. Several of these gifts involve learning to hear God speak. God speaks in words, usually in our thoughts. He speaks in pictures. Very occasionally, people hear him out loud. He can also speak through something we see with our eyes, or taste, or smell. Jesus heard his Father in heaven very clearly. He also saw with his imagination what his Father God was doing. But Jesus said, "My sheep, hear my voice." So Following Jesus, my friends, is to hear his voice. But sadly, so easily, we don't give God any space for his voice. Some people say you can only hear his voice when you've got the Bible open. Well, you can hear his voice when the Bible's open. But the Bible is full of stories of people who heard God directly. My sheep hear my voice. You can all learn to hear God. But if we're going to hear his voice well, we have to learn to listen. And he very rarely shouts. Here are the gifts we listen for. Prophecy. That is, we're hearing words from God to pass on to an individual or a church or maybe wider. By the way, at this time, we desperately need prophets to our nation to tell us what God thinks of us. But that's another story. Prophecy, prophets are wonderful in a church. Now, someone very close to me had anorexia for several years, was getting tired of it, beginning to tell other people about it. And then in her church, a man came up to her and said, "You don't know me, but I have a word for you. There's something churning around in you, locking you in, and God's going to set you free." And she believed. And she cancelled immediately her drivenness to do exercise, and she's hugely better. It came through a word of prophecy. The first Christian mission, Acts chapter 12, happened because the prophets at Antioch said, "Set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." On the day when the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost, the believers poured out God's praise in all the languages of those who'd come to Jerusalem for the festival. And the apostle Peter then said, "This is what Joel foretold. I will pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy." They were speaking unknown languages, but those languages were understood by the people there, so they were words from God, prophecy. You see, there's no sharp line between speaking in tongues and prophecy, and it happens today that from time to time people understand words that somebody speaks in an unknown language, but somebody there happens to understand them. There's no sharp distinction between these manifestations of the Spirit. Prophecy, says St. Paul, is for encouragement, for building up and for consolation. And it's a lovely, lovely thing to bring encouraging words to others, words that are from God. He says, Paul says, "You may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and be encouraged." Prophecy is for everyone. That all may learn and be encouraged. Now, when I believed that God had baptized me in Holy Spirit, because I believed the promise, I expected to prophesy. So I found myself with a small group of people. This was when I was a curate in Tunbridge in Kent. A small group of people, and we listened to God together in quietness during the afternoon, listening for what God might put into my thoughts. And I thought I heard something. But then I thought I heard the exact opposite. It was like being in a room with a loudspeaker in one corner saying one thing and a loudspeaker in the other corner saying the opposite. And I was confused. And then I focused my thoughts on Jesus and one of the voices disappeared. And that was how I began to learn to listen. You have to practice it. But you can all do it. It's helpful to have a notebook to write down what you think God is saying, because it can just be wishful thinking. You need to write down what you think God is saying. He'll probably repeat it to help you learn. You can share it with other Christians who will maybe confirm that it sounds like God something saying that to you. But you have to practice listening. And as well as listening to God for prophecy, you can listen for words he wants to say to you personally. Jesus listened all the time, heard God perfectly. You can have real conversations with him. The Bible, as I've said, is a record of people who heard God directly. Then you can learn to hear what God, reading called Words of Wisdom, a message of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, a message of knowledge. A word of wisdom is when God gives you something significant to say when you need it in a particular situation. Now, you may already have received this without realizing that it came from God. But pray for words of wisdom because they're precious. And the gospel shows that Jesus spoke them several times. When he was tested by the Pharisees, he said they wanted to get him on whether he should pay tax, whether the people should pay taxes to Caesar. And he answered, "Show me a coin. Whose head is it? Give to Caesar what Caesar's. Give to God what is God's." Because we people are in the image of God. And so we give to God ourselves, just as the coin goes to Caesar. It was brilliant. And the word of knowledge is when God tells you something about someone that you wouldn't otherwise have known. But then you need the wisdom to know whether or not to share it. And God will tell you if you listen. But words of knowledge are particularly significant in both evangelism and healing. The woman at the well heard Jesus say, "You've had five husbands, and he whom you're with now is not your husband." And she was absolutely blown away. And she said, went out into the village and said, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." She came to faith in Jesus because of the word of knowledge about her. And that works today with some people, but it needs care. And similarly with healing. It's good when you have an opportunity for healing, to have a group who listen beforehand to hear what words God might give for healing. And we do that in our church in Romilly near Stockport. I've seen amazing words of knowledge. Years ago when I was in Pakistan, we were listening before an evening meeting, and I know nothing about the human body. I've never studied biology, and I'm hopeless on the body, as my wife will tell you. But I got this word, sacrum. And I said to people, "Does that mean anything?" Well, nobody knew, but somebody went out and found a doctor and came back and said, "Yes, it's a bone at the base of our spine near the coccyx." And I went into the meeting, and somebody put on the desk, "Would we please pray for Garth, who was 25 miles away with a fracture of the base of the spine." My faith shot up. We prayed the Spirit on him, commanded that his fracture be healed, and the following night he was in the meeting in no pain, and the x-ray showed he was completely healed. That came from the word sacrum. Now, I could tell you story after story about words of knowledge. But you see, these gifts are wonderful. And that takes me to the gift of healing. The gift of healing is both for the person who's healed and for the person who prays for healing. God, the Spirit, in the heavenly realm that is all around us but invisible, acts on the energy in our material bodies and its new creation. But with the kingdom of God around us, that's normal. It's not a miracle, it's just a sign of God. The Bible doesn't talk about miracles. It talks about signs, wonders, mighty works. And if you think, and Jesus sent his disciples out to heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. If you think it's just for the first 12, the climax of St. Matthew's gospel is, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them," that's all future disciples like you and me, "teaching them to obey everything I commanded you," the first 12. The first 12 are commanded to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Why haven't we done that? Why isn't every church in the land healing the sick? If it was, the gospel would be quite different in this country. If the Christians everywhere were known for praying for the sick and they were all doing it constantly, wouldn't it be different? You're not sure. Wouldn't it be? Wouldn't the church then look like Jesus? Isn't that what we need? When's England going to come back to faith? when the church looks like Jesus. It's a passion. It's a passion in me that every church should have a powerful ministry of healing. Every church. And every disciple should learn to pray simply for healing. It's not difficult. It starts with obedience. You don't sit on your bottom waiting for the gift. You start doing it because Jesus commanded it. When you do it, the gifts come. And I've seen that. We are authorized with his authority to do it. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to believe we're baptized in Holy Spirit. I've seen people gifted praying for women to conceive. Some are gifted for praying for eyesight or for backs. But you only find the gifting when you do it. And if you start doing it, you'll find out what your gifting is. John Wimber prayed for a year because out of obedience and saw nothing happen. And then after a year, the floodgates opened and people were healed everywhere. Sometimes we have to wait and just persevere. Ask, seek, knock. John Wimber would say that the instructions in the Bible are the menu. We don't eat the menu, we eat the meal. The meal is doing it. But we're often content with just reading the menu. The list continues with the gift, special gift of faith, to know that certain things are going to happen. It continues with the working of powers. Some of these I spoke about yesterday. You can get the recording if you want to. And then the speaking in tongues and interpretation in tongues. And speaking in tongues is when you set aside your mind and you just pray with a movement of your spirit, letting your tongue just... You think you're making it all up, but actually you can become fluent in it. The first time I tried, I thought I was making it all up, but I got a word of interpretation afterwards, which was better than my normal prayers, so I thought, well, I'd better go on doing it. And then after 3 months, the interpretation disappeared, and I was left with this infant gift of tongues, which I've had to learn to use. And I use it for praise, when I don't know what to say. I use it against the enemy, and I use it for intercession when I don't know how to pray. It's just praying with my spirit, putting the mind on one side. I could sit with my wife for half an hour, say nothing, but we'd communicate. It's perfectly in order to communicate with God without using words. And indeed, we can pray in the spirit in deep silence or in pictures. All these nine gifts Paul calls the spirituals. They are the gifts that particularly show God the Spirit at work because they are different from normal human life. And we have to say that has to be God. It's not exclusive. Dreams and visions are mentioned in another place. I told yesterday a story of a man who came into a group from a background with no Christian knowledge at all. So the Spirit gave him Bible references and he would say, Jeremiah 9:10. He had no idea what it said. We looked it up and that was the message. And one day he was lying in bed, wondering if he should get up and pray, and the Lord said, Luke 11:7. Eventually he got up and looked it up and it says, I'm with my children in bed, I cannot give you anything. So we realized that God had a sense of humor. I could speak for a long time about all these wonderful gifts, but I've been speaking long enough. So, my friends, we're going to practice. Are you ready? Just stand up and give yourself a shake around. Okay, well, just trust Jesus to baptize us in Holy Spirit. You may know that well. You may never have asked and believed. Jesus, you said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You promised. We ask. Heavenly Father, pour your Holy Spirit. Flood us. Soak us in Holy Spirit. Thank you. Believe. Just believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just believe. Thank you, Lord. Okay, if you sit, we're going to listen. Sit still with your legs just quietly on the floor. We're going to listen for God to give you words of knowledge about medical conditions that he wants to heal. I'm going to ask you to speak them out in a minute. But I'll just drop into your thoughts. We'll only take medical conditions, not other pictures. Father God, we want to see your healing. Please tell us what you want to heal. Now just listen quietly and see what drops into your thoughts. Words of the Spirit come when we're relaxed. So don't strive. Just be completely at peace and see what drops into your thoughts. Okay, just call out anything that dropped into your thoughts. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. If it's not taken up, it'll just drop to the ground. A medical condition that you heard in your thoughts. Sorry, couldn't hear.
Osteoporosis.
Osteoporosis, thank you.
Multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis, MS.
Cancer.
Cancer.
Scoliosis.
Sorry?
Scoliosis.
Pardon? Couldn't hear. Lung disease, thank you.
Heart disease.
Heart disease. Anything else?
Depression.
Depression. Macular degeneration. What about a generation? Macular degeneration. Sorry?
Bronchitis.
Okay. Pardon?
Kidney function.
Kidney function. Okay. Here we are. Osteoporosis. And earlier something, I'm not angry with you. Osteoporosis, multiple sclerosis, cancer, scoliosis, lung disease, heart disease, depression, macular degeneration, bronchitis, kidney disease. Anybody respond to any one of those? Put a hand up. Three, four. Any more? Okay, somebody keep your hands up. Somebody will come and pray with you now. Team, those of you who are used to it, please gather one or two people and just gather around the people with their hands up. Come on, you've got people in the church who are skilled at this. Just move around. Any more hands going up? The man here, up at the front. Somebody come and pray for him, please. Even if you're new to this, it's not difficult. I'll tell you what to say. Now, if you've never done this before, you just say, Holy Spirit, come
to this person to heal. Come to heal. Holy Spirit, come to heal. And you pause, you allow time for the wind or the breath to come. It's dynamic movement, so it needs time to come. And then you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You say, scoliosis, be healed. Okay, now the rest of you pray in pairs. Just the person next to you, just say, what would you like to be healed? And just lay your hands on them. Holy Spirit, come to heal. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Pray in pairs. It's not difficult. We need every Christian to do this. Just the person next to you, just share in a pair what you want to be healed. Holy Spirit, come to heal. In the name of Jesus, be healed. It's very straightforward. And even if you think you haven't got much faith, Jesus says that tiny faith moves mountains. Your faith will grow as you do it and as you see people blessed. So don't hold back because you think your faith is weak. Put your faith to work and it will grow. It starts with obedience. And then we do it, and the gifts come as you do it. I want to tell you that at one of the meetings we had in Manchester, when I got people to pray in pairs in their seats, no team member involved, one woman was healed of celiac disease. Completely healed. Wonderful. Well, there you are, Phil. It's up to you to carry it on. And next week, to have the feedback, the people who got healed. Francis McNutt says 25% healed, 50% improved, and the other 25%, although nothing seems to happen, the people find the prayer a blessing. The kingdom of God has not yet fully come. That is why we are not yet fully healed. And our faith is weak, but our faith grows as we do it. Jesus didn't do many mighty works in Nazareth, it says, because of their unbelief, except it says he healed a few sick people. Well, that would be good enough for me. But even Jesus was hindered by the unbelief in his neighbourhood. He was the local boy. And goodness me, we have unbelief in Britain. That's one of the reasons why there isn't more healing. But faith will grow as we do it. So we've just got to press on. Ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you. Okay, Phil.